Hello, curiosity seekers. Are you ready for some sideshow shenanigans? Well, stay tuned for this episode. Hello, curiosity seekers. Welcome to Dissecting Medical History. I'm Ange. I'm a travel nurse, medical history enthusiast, and your host. Please note this is not in any way medical advice. If you have anything that's ever discussed in any of the podcast episodes, please seek medical attention. Now, let's get this story started. Welcome back. Today, I'm with Mel.
Hello.
Hi. I love me some shenanigans. I'm excited.
Some shenanigans. And this is some circus shenanigans. So, as promised, today, we are going to continue this episode talking about people that were in circus or carnivals, or just in general in a show, not necessarily in a carnival. And we're going to start off this episode with the Elephant Man.
Ooh, the Elephant Man.
You've heard of the Elephant Man. Do you know anything about the Elephant Man?
I don't. I don't even know what kind of disorder he actually had. I just know that
a lot of people did not know.
Yeah.
So for decades, when I thought of the Elephant Man, I was thinking there was a movie in the 80s called... It was called Mask. Not The Mask,
okay.
Jim Carrey, but Mask.
Okay.
And it had Cher.
Okay.
And it had Eric Stoltz.
I don't know who that is.
He was in that movie, Some Kind of Wonderful. He was like an 80s heartthrob.
I'd probably recognize his face.
Not if you saw him in this movie.
Okay.
This movie, he played this guy named Rocky Dennis.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I am familiar.
Yeah. And he has, like, his foot was like a, I mean, his foot, his face was like a foot long.
Uh-huh.
Really big, and it was kind of deformed. And
right.
He just was very deformed. But yes. He was a very outgoing guy, very charismatic, very smart. He graduated high school with honors. This is not the same disease that I thought. That disease was mostly just his face.
Okay.
It didn't really, it had something to do with calcium deposits over calcium. But this one, the Elephant Man, this was more of an overgrowth of two different systems. And the reason they call it like the elephant disease is because the trunks of the legs and the arms, they get very thick, like a trunk of an elephant. They're okay. That thick with the rolls. It almost looks like you're looking at a brain. It has those little grooves and everything, but it's skin. It's really thick, calloused skin.
Oh.
And when all the pictures I've looked at in the different cases, no two are the same, but it usually affects one side or the other, one side more than the other.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It's more of an asymmetrical type.
Interesting.
Yep. And for this guy in particular that I'm going to talk about, they did a movie in the 80s about him called The Elephant Man.
Okay.
Directed by a man named David Lynch, who did the Twin Peaks TV series. He did a lot of other things, a lot of weird things. And interesting enough, it was produced by Mel Brooks.
Oh.
But Mel Brooks went uncredited because he didn't want people thinking it was a comedy, which is what Mel Brooks is known for.
Okay.
So they did that episode, and I have not seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Normally I like to watch movies beforehand, but I just didn't have enough time to see the movies for everyone. But if you do get a chance to see it, it does have Anthony Hopkins in it.
Oh, okay.
And someone else famous, and Anne Bancroft was in it. I can't remember the name of the famous actor who did the actual main character, who in real life, his name is Joseph Carey Merrick. I don't think I've seen it because I don't remember anything about it. So I'm not sure if the movie is similar to what he went through in real life or not. In the clips I saw of it, it does appear like the doctor that was overseeing his care was his friend, did become his friend.
Okay.
And that was true. In real life, he was his friend. So Joseph was born in 1860 in Leicester, United Kingdom.
Okay, I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Yep, long, long time ago. This was back when, you know, freak shows were the Victorian age.
Mm-hmm.
He was okay until about 5. And then he started to change, like getting more skin, getting thicker. He had normal arms, normal legs, kind of until then.
Okay.
Then his mom died when he was 10.
Oh.
His stepmom was not nice to him.
Aw.
She was so not nice to him. He would stay out hungry rather than go home. I don't know what she was doing. It didn't say in the reports. Well, right before 1879, he was trying to sell things door to door.
Okay.
Now, when someone is not able to work or they're ill or sick, they go to what's called a workhouse in England.
Okay.
And those aren't the greatest conditions. People don't normally volunteer. Sometimes they go there because they're working off debt, mm-hmm. things like that. But he somehow voluntarily went to the workhouse, possibly because maybe it was too cold to sell his things, or maybe he just wasn't selling enough because he was starting to look very deformed at this point. He was like 17, I think.
Okay.
And so he went to the workhouse. Right around age 20, mm-hmm. he had to have surgery for the first time. And I don't know how many surgeries he had, but he was getting a lot of extra flesh in the face. So they had a surgery to remove some of that. It was said that he got 3 or 4 ounces of flesh taken away.
Wow. So this was, you said he was born in 1860, so this is around 1880?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So surgery in 1880.
Around, yeah.
That sounds scary. Okay.
Okay, yeah. No antibiotics. No,
yeah, no.
They just kind of cut the flesh away or whatever.
Good anesthesia. So it's kind of
more superficial, though, maybe.
Yeah.
So maybe lidocaine was around. I don't know.
Maybe.
So anyway, he left the workhouse after being there for about 4 years. He wanted to make his living doing a freak show. People are already staring at him. Let's try to make money out of it.
Yeah, at least capitalize on it.
So he went to a guy named Sam Tour, who was kind of involved with a music hall. It's called the Gaiety Theater, which is still standing today. Mm. And he asked him for help to get into that business. So he actually was the main attraction.
Oh.
He got a lot of money. Like, he was doing very well. So to describe what he looks like, he had a large of extra flesh on the back of his head, kind of hanging off.
Okay.
And, of course, there's some hair there, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put pictures on Instagram because it is kind of hard to describe. But it's like that really thick elephant-looking extra skin.
Mm-hmm.
And his legs are like stumps. They look like an elephant. And then his right arm was very thick and his hand was kind of like webbed.
Okay.
So the skin started growing in between his fingers and just became very distorted. Now his left hand and arm were very thin, like a child's arm.
Okay.
It was smaller and thinner. I'm sure when he was going door to door, he was like being stared at a lot, right? So he felt like he was so much more comfortable being on stage when people were staring at him mm-hmm. there.
At least people were meant to stare at him when he was on stage.
He did, yeah. His first appearance went really well. He felt very comfortable. He was doing well financially. And then he joined a traveling circus when that theater stopped doing their shows. The circus happened to stop in front of the London Hospital. And a student of this surgeon, Trevise, was told about him. He's a phenomenon, right? A medical phenomenon.
Yeah.
So he went to go see him. And he was dumbfounded. Like, his descriptions were not the nicest, I guess. He was like, I've never seen anything so grotesque. And, like, things like that, right? You wouldn't. But, what would you say? You couldn't really make it flowery.
Right.
It was very grotesque looking.
Yeah.
But then someone would look at an elephant and go, oh, how beautiful.
Right.
Right?
Because you're expecting them to look that way, I guess.
Yeah. Now, at the time, the shows, circuses and freak shows, freak shows in particular, were becoming less popular. So it was getting a little harder to find a job in that regard. The surgeon, Trevise, wanted to kind of study him a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But he did come and get looked at, mm-hmm. and they took photographs and they were examining him, right? But then he went back out, and because it became less popular in the UK, he went on the road into Europe. So he was in Belgium at some point, and he was robbed by his own road manager.
Oh, that's not a very good road manager.
Now, when he traveled, he would travel with a cloth over his head.
Okay.
Like a towel or a sheet or something, mm-hmm. like a ghost, with eye holes in it.
So people couldn't get a free show, I guess?
No, not because of that, but it becomes a disruption.
Oh.
And who wants to sit by you in a train or just, like, it's really difficult in those situations. So he was a very gentle person, very mm-hmm. nice, very intelligent, very well-spoken. It was hard for him to speak, though, mm-hmm. because of all that, this distortion in his face and neck was huge. He somehow managed to get funds to get back to London. And something had happened, and I guess the crowds, like, saw him without the sheet or took off his sheet or something happened. He ended up being taken to the hospital, and they found Trevisa's card in his jacket. He still had it. So they took him to him, and he was able to get him a private room in an attic. Mm-hmm. He said at that point, he really wasn't able to take care of himself anymore. Mm-hmm. Couldn't really clean himself.
I imagine there's a lot of skin folds and everything to clean.
That are really hard. And if your hands are kind of can't reach in certain areas, yeah, then that would be difficult.
And so the webbed hand probably didn't have great dexterity, mm-mm, I think.
Because it was a hospital, they said they can't treat incurables. They couldn't cure him. They didn't even know what it was. Yeah. So he went under medical scrutiny. He was being seen by many medical doctors. He would go in front of them naked and just like, well, this is me. This is what I'm about. He asked the head of that hospital for help. And the head of that hospital put out a public cry for help in the newspaper, which is interesting. So he put a plea for the public, asking them if there was anyone who could take in this gentleman, if they had a room or whatever for him to be in. Now, a lot of people sent in money, but nobody like said, oh, I'll take him.
Right.
But there was some donors that said, well, if you keep him, we'll donate £100 a year for his upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, okay, great. So they did. They kept him.
Okay.
They found him a place in the London hospital where he had privacy and he had his own lodgings. And they said that he wrote a thank you letter to the public, thanking him for all of the help. It was very elegantly written. But he would also make model houses. Like they were giant Victorian looking models.
Mm-hmm.
Not like Legos, but we're talking like paper or wooden.
Probably houses. More realistic looking.
Very intricate. I don't know how he did that with one webbed hand,
yeah,
and one small hand, but he did. And they said that only one survives. Hmm. So I don't know who has that, but anyway.
Oh, somebody does. Or did.
So he also was very well celebrated by the upper class.
Okay.
People like the Princess Alexandria came to visit him. Hmm. And just a lot of the genteel would come and see him, which was really amazing. It was just very cool. He would come and visit him. He was probably his most visited friend, the doctor.
Okay.
Eventually, he started to become worse and worse. More overgrowth just kept getting worse.
Yeah.
To the point where he couldn't even hold up his own head anymore.
So was there a reason they weren't doing surgeries anymore? Because you said they were doing surgeries when
At that point, it was just not helping.
Keep up?
It just kept growing back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the risk of anesthesia and all that, too. So.
His speech had become also more difficult for people to understand. And like I said, he could hardly hold up his head any longer. Mm. And he finally passed away in his sleep. He was 27.
Wow.
Yep.
I didn't know he was that young.
1890. He knew that his body was going to be donated to medical science.
Like right.
He was okay with that. He knew it was a phenomenon. He was, you know.
Yeah.
So his skeleton is still in, not to the public, but it is in the library or the museum inside of the London hospital where this medical students could see it. And
is there anything abnormal about the skeleton itself?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The bones look like you would think that they would look. Like the one leg was really, really thick.
Oh.
And very trunk-like. And the head was completely twisted.
Wow. So it did affect the skeleton and everything, too.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was skin and bone type of a thing.
Wow.
Very asymmetrical. He was buried in an unmarked grave. And I don't know what they buried, whatever tissues were left or whatnot.
Why?
Sad, right?
There were plenty of people that seemed to care about him.
Yeah. Maybe because, well, so one of the things is when people have a disorder like this, there was a giant who everybody was like, vulturing around him, waiting for him to die because they wanted his bones.
People will come and
And if you put him in a grave, they're going to just grave dig it.
Yeah.
But if you don't know where that grave is.
That's true. That's a good point. Then you're left. That has something to do with it then.
Yeah. I think that's why.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't talk about. So they didn't know what it was for a really long time.
Uh-huh.
Like decades. And I think they still didn't know until recently. There were different diagnoses for decades. The diagnosis that most people now can agree on is Proteus syndrome.
Okay.
This is a rare genetic condition that causes excessive growth of bones, skin, organs, and tissues.
Okay.
So it's the one that fits all of these things the most.
Okay. So do we know that he had any effects from the organ part of it? Because we know about the bones and the skin.
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, the skin is an organ, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Good point.
And I don't know. I don't know about the rest.
Okay.
To be honest, I didn't go into the full detail of the documentary.
Yeah.
About all that was affected because I didn't want to make this podcast as long as the last one. So I just left it at that. Anyway, the oldest person to have lived with this is Jerry DeVries, who died at 61.
Wow, that's...
And I've looked at pictures of other people that have it, and it varies. Okay. Some people have very little affected, and some have a lot.
Uh-huh.
But he seems to be the one that had the most out of all of them that I had seen.
Okay.
So he was very, very affected. Our next sideshow act is the bearded lady.
Okay.
Or bearded ladies in this case. I was only going to do one, and then I found another one that was very fascinating too. So you get two for one.
There you go.
So this other...
I like a good deal.
bearded lady. That seems to be a common attraction in many different circuses around that time.
Okay.
Because it's not as a rare of a disorder as, say, like an elephant man disease or a conjoined twin or something like that.
I've certainly seen a lot of older ladies that have
some furriness.
Some furriness on their face. So
these are a little bit more extreme, but, and then one of them, I believe, had more than one thing wrong with them.
Okay.
But the main thing would be
hirsutism or whatever. Hirsutism. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a female condition that causes the excess amount of dark or coarse hair to appear where a male pattern hair would be. So the hair, face, chest, or back. Or I say arms as well because a lot of men have very furry arms. Mm-hmm. Women have hair on their arms, but there's some women that are very furry. Men. There are men that are furry.
Mm-hmm.
So it was usually because of an excessive testosterone.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of fixable nowadays.
Yeah.
Usually you could do like birth control pills
right,
or something.
Right.
It can affect 5 to 10% of women. And nowadays, like I said, there's creams and all kinds of things you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can even shave, whatever.
Yeah, wax, laser wax, hair removal. Right.
But so 5 to 10% of women, that's quite a few.
That is actually a high number.
Yeah. Back in the freak show era, it was another way to earn a living. So one such hairy woman was Anne Jones Elliott, who was born in 1865 in Virginia. She toured with none other than P.T. Barnum.
Oh.
First starting out in an exhibition at the very young age of 9 months old.
9 months?
Yep. Her chin was full of hair already.
Wow.
Not a beard, but just full of hair. The parents pushed for her to be an exhibit.
Aw.
They signed a 3-year contract giving $150 a week to her parents.
And that was a lot of money back then.
They called her the infant Esau, E-S-A-U. I don't know. It's a biblical name.
Oh, okay.
So it references to the hairy brother of Jacob in the Old Testament. By the time she was 5, she was fully furred. She had a mustache, sideburns, and a full beard.
Is she joining a motorcycle gang? Just kidding. Cut that out.
She was very, very girly.
Oh.
Other than her hair. So they changed her name to the Bearded Girl.
Okay.
Like that was, 5? So this was when she started to tour with Barnum and Bailey's Circus. And then she would make appearances at the dime museums. Then she became the Bearded Lady.
Uh-huh.
At age 16, she got married to a barker named Richard Elliott. They were married for 15 years. And after divorcing, she married a man named William Donovan. He used to work on the show's wardrobes. And she also knew him for a very long time. They went on tour in Europe outside of Barnum's. And then he died a few years later. So Annie went back to work for the Barnum Circus. At the time, she was the top bearded lady. And if you go online, there's tons of like the flyers for her. Mm-hmm. She was very often photographed. She's very well-dressed. She's very fashionable.
Mm-hmm.
She sometimes would have her very long hair braided. And her mustache and her beard was very well kept.
Huh.
Her hair was very well done. It didn't look like she had a lot of chest hair.
Uh-huh.
It was just mostly facial hair.
Huh.
She's very petite looking thing. She's very, yeah. She also became one of the spokespersons for the other freaks. Annie wanted to get that word freak out of the vocabulary of Sideshow.
Yeah.
Which it's still not. Like, people still
say it. They still say it.
And then she, yeah. Anyway, she passed away at 37
from tuberculosis. Oh, okay. Tuberculosis.
Yeah. All right. The next bearded lady I'm going to talk about is from rural Mexico.
Okay.
She's a woman from around the same era. Her name is Julia Pastrana. She was born in 1834. And she went by the name the Ape Woman.
Oh.
I know.
I mean, we are all great apes, aren't we?
Well.
They didn't know that back then. Wait, when was this?
1834.
Okay, yeah, they didn't know that back then.
I saw a writing, a report or something, because Darwin was aware of her.
Uh-huh.
There was, I don't know that he wrote this, but someone was aware and was saying that because some of her facial features looked like an orangutan. And they were saying that somehow women came from orangutans or apes. So, you know how Darwin was thinking, like, we came from monkeys and chimpanzees, or, right? Didn't he say that? Wasn't that his thing?
That's more of a more modern concept, thing. I think. Yeah, but we are.
I thought Darwin came up with that.
Maybe. But we are closely related to chimpanzees. I know that. Well, we share a very close common ancestor.
Because they had mentioned that she also had double teeth, like an animal, like a...
Oh.
But I don't think that was true. Okay. I think they were just saying all these things...
Just kind of play it up.
To promote her.
Yeah. Okay.
So let me go back to her beginnings.
Okay.
So she had a condition that was called hypertrichosis lanuginosa. Hmm. So it was just like the same with extra hair.
Okay.
All of that. She had the extra hair thickened, like she had the beard, she had the chest hair, she had arm hair, back hair, she had all of that. But she also had very thickened lips and gums. Her jaw kind of like protruded out a little bit, like an ape would.
Okay.
So that's kind of like what she went by, an ape woman. Her mother thought she was a result of some sort of shape-shifting werewolf.
Oh.
And they got kicked out of the village.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't live in old-timey times.
Well, that was old.
That was really old-timey times.
You think 1834 was old, but then you go to a rural area. Like, a rural area now.
Yes, is behind the times.
Is behind the times.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember when I went to Mexico in the 80s, they weren't even wearing jeans.
Wow.
And I was like, gosh, they're so behind. Okay. So, anyway... So I think they were kicked out of the village, and they were found 2 years later by some herdsmen who took them to the city. And Julia was put in an orphanage. She eventually got adopted by a state governor to be a maid and live in entertainment. So yeah, you think, oh, he's being so nice. No, he probably had states people in and was like, oh, look at my maid.
He wasn't doing it to help her. He was doing it
But it
to
didn't
help
say
himself.
She was ill-treated, but it, you know.
Yeah.
So at age 20,
she was just being exploited, but at least maybe she wasn't being physically abused.
Yeah. It didn't say any of that. Maybe. So at age 20, she went back to her tribe, but before she got there, she was intercepted by an American, a showman named M. Rates. And persuaded her to go on the road, to be on the stage. So her very first show was in New York City.
Ooh.
She became very famous. Okay, so she also went by the name Bear Woman and Baboon Lady.
Oh, wow, that's not very nice.
You know, they do all these things to promote, right? And then the person being promoted never really goes. Wore this beautiful red dress, and she sung Spanish folklore songs, and then she danced. And of course, nobody was there to see her dance and sing. I'm sure it was lovely.
Yeah.
But they all wanted to have their jaws dropped by this
they just
lady who really did look like...
The wow factor.
Yeah, like very furry woman. Now, she... Well, I don't know if she did, but somebody had a doctor say that she was examined and said to be a hybrid. Half human, half orangutan.
Yeah, but probably not, though.
And not just him. There are other
what
doctors.
What kind of exam did he do on her exactly?
I don't know. I think it was for promotion.
Uh-huh.
So her new promoter, his name was Theodore Lent. He was pretty famous at the time, so I'm pretty sure he probably got those doctors to say those things.
Oh, for sure.
They did that all the time.
Yeah. But anything for some cash.
Yeah. Well, he ended up marrying her.
Oh.
Thinking, like, this is going to be a moneymaker, right? Because she was... pretty famous. She was making a lot of money.
Yeah.
He did not want her to go out in public because he didn't want people to not pay to see her.
Yeah.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. So, and then she had a baby in 1860. And they said that the baby's features looked just like her.
Uh-oh.
And that
baby is doomed.
And they said that she cried. And the baby was in her arms and cried.
What exactly did she expect?
Well, the baby died.
Oh, okay.
35 hours later.
Uh-oh.
And she died a few days later.
Oh. Wow.
It was a very hard birth. They think she died from an infection because it was a hard birth and she got split.
Ooh.
And they said that they think it was from an infection.
That sucks.
Yeah, but that's not where the story ends. You think, right? Theodore.
Uh-oh.
Who, you know, he's a
promoter.
I think
I know where this is headed.
What do you think?
He's going to do something with her body.
Perhaps.
Oh.
Well, he sold the body.
Oh, okay.
He sold the body to someone who mummified her.
Oh, no.
And the baby.
Oh, no.
And they put her on display at the Anatomical Institute Museum.
Yeah, that's kind of where I had a feeling it was going.
But he found out that they were making a lot of money off of her.
Uh-huh.
And decided, oh, I made the wrong decision. He should have kept them mummified. So he found a loophole in the contract somehow and got them back after they'd been there for 6 months. So he put them on display in 1862.
Oh, boy.
And then he found another woman who had her same features to exhort. To exhort?
Extort.
Extort. Making up words again. Her name was Marie Bartel, who had the same condition and for some reason married the guy, knowing that he owned
a mummified woman and baby with the same condition.
But the joke
was not a good sign.
The joke was on him because he ended up going insane. Like he was going out in public naked and stuff. And she had him committed.
Oh.
And then she sold the baby and Julia to, I think, a curiosity shop. And I think now they're somewhere in Norway.
Oh, okay. Like in a museum or something, I imagine.
Mm.
Ha. Wow. I mean, I don't really care what happens to my body after I die, but it's still kind of messed up.
Right? I don't want to be mummified. So the baby was stood up on a rod.
Oh.
And then she was in her, like, her famous dress that she would wear. Someone in the article said that it looked like she was just waiting for a bus.
Huh.
She was very girly like the other one, very feminine, tried to dress nice. Her face was a little more...
I had that kind of distorted features.
Yeah, like an orangutan or not. So I'll put pictures of all of these people on Instagram when we load this up. And so that was short and sweet, right? Not like two episodes of conjoined twins, which, by the way, Abby and Brittany are the names of the conjoined twins that I told you about.
The modern ones.
The modern ones that became teachers.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Which is very cool.
Cool, cool.
All right. Anyway, any questions, comments, concerns?
It was interesting. Stuff that I did not know.
Yeah.
Diseases I've never heard of.
I had never heard of her. I knew kind of the other bearded lady.
Yeah.
And I knew kind of the elephant man. But I didn't know what caused them and I didn't know their life story.
Right.
So that's always fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
And Julie, even when I thought I was done, there was more. Well, she went on tour as a mummified woman.
Yeah, it's like, oh, she died. Okay, story's over. But not really.
But no.
There is more.
All right. Well, anyway, thanks for joining me on this crazy episode. Thanks, listeners, for being around for yet another up and down adventure where we go on tangents.
She's finally back at it, folks.
Yay! Woo-hoo. And we'll let you go so you can save yourself for next week. Bye!
Bye!
I hope you enjoyed today's mental vacation from your current life. If you did and are curious for more, please subscribe. Before you go, if you have anything to add to today's show or you have a topic that you think is worthy of dissection, please reach out on dissectingmedicalhistory.com or Instagram on dissectingmedicalhistory. Thank you and stay curious.
One moment, please.
Please stand by. Please stand by.
Play some hold music. Do, 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 do. We go for the same hold music. You might have to cut that out or we owe Jeopardy money, right?
Only if you say it was Jeopardy.
Oh.
I've never seen the show, so I don't know what you're talking about.
What lies?